What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap, Fightful Select. I am fresh off of a four-hour Twitter Spaces. I don't know if that is something I should be proud of or embarrassed of, but a lot of you sent me some very nice and funny tweets about that, and I wanted to say thank you to those of you who did that, and also thank you to Rock and Ropes for having me on to talk about something that was important to me. But by God, you know what else is important to me? Wrestling news. Tessa Blanchard, man, appeared at TNA Wrestling. Fightful had spoken to AEW, WWE, and TNA talent Wednesday and Thursday that were in disbelief that the company was headed in that direction. The news was kept away from the entire roster as of the time of the details emerging, but came together a couple of weeks ago, which is when I first heard a little bit emerging about it. And heard that the plan was for Tessa to come in as a heel, work with Jordynne Grace, beat her. And I was told even before the rumors had emerged this week that Jordynne Grace pushed back on working with her. Obviously, she's a professional and all that, but did not seem keen on making that happen. Everything went smoothly backstage, from what I understand. There were definitely some people that weren't exactly thrilled seeing her there. You know what? I heard she wasn't exactly thrilled I was reporting on her either, but she is signed to a TNA contract right now. She left TNA in 2020, and I've heard some conflicting things within the company that point fingers in the other direction, but didn't end up dropping the title and they vacated it. But she left 2020 after left in 2020 after becoming champion and had the title put on her amid allegations of using racial slurs towards La Rosa Negra and bullying and spitting on numerous talent across wrestling. Then she was made the face of the WOW product, and she was quickly fired from there too amid allegations of bullying. I have never heard of specific apologies, for those of you asking. I know that she made good, or at least that La Rosa Negra forgave her for what happened. But any of the other people that had sort of come out to speak about Tessa, when I've asked, they have not indicated that any amends had been made there. And we're going into the opinion portion of this. I think that had she apologized when that happened and when that emerged, she would be a multiple-time WWE champion by now. That's how good I think she is in the ring. Now, outside of a tag match that she had in CMLL where Stephanie Vecchio is involved, I haven't seen like a ton of slappers with her in the last couple years. But when she was in TNA, I thought that she was a phenomenal in-ring talent. I thought that everything that she did in a wrestling match looked like she wanted to win that wrestling match. But, you know, that didn't all happen, and as a result, her career suffered. She was untouchable by WWE. There were a couple people who are no longer with AEW early on that pushed for her, and that was kiboshed as well, and no plans in bringing her back there. But this is her big chance. This is her big opportunity, and obviously TNA is going to experience some roster turnover very, very soon. Mina Shirakawa, I spoke to her for a new interview. It was a lot of fun. I had never spoken to Mina before, and it was wonderful. It was to promote the New Japan show. But I asked her about the live show charisma thing that Dave Meltzer coined, and Daniel Garcia actually brought it up during our interview. She said she doesn't know necessarily what it means, but she knows that it's good. And she didn't realize the dance she did in Japan was Daniel Garcia's, but she showed it to him. And then he was like, yeah, that belongs to you now. What am I going to do with it? She's very excited to work in New Japan. It means a lot to her. But she signed to Stardom. She is not signed to AEW. She doesn't have much longer on this trip to America, but does want to work in America more in the future. She said that the size of gyms and cookies are some of her favorite things about America. And listen, one that is America. She said she went to Waffle House. She got a burger and a couple things there. She did not try the waffles yet. We will keep you updated on that. The Gun Club, Austin and Colton, have been absent for nearly 3 months, and now we know why. We were able to speak to numerous sources at WrestleCade and on the AEW roster who confirmed to us that Austin Gunn had been sidelined with an injury. That led to he and his brother Colton not being used on AEW TV for nearly 3 months. It's unknown if anything on Colton's end led to his particular absence, like an injury or just requesting time off. I don't have that information as of now. They did do a virtual signing recently, and they said, don't worry about us. We will be back soon. But those that I spoke to in AEW had at least believed that Colton was cleared as of the week of Juice Robinson's injury, because I had heard some people at WrestleCade say, yeah, maybe Colton ends up replacing him in the C2 or something like that. But lots of cool stuff there. Also interviewed Gabe Kidd and Steve Macklin in recent weeks. We've got full notes on FightfulSelect.com, but also have the interviews up for everybody to check out. We have 20 interviews in the can. I'm so excited for you guys to see those. AEW All-In ticketing event. So I've been to Dallas once or twice. It's a direct flight from Lexington, but I actually flew out of Louisville. Not that that really matters to you guys, but flew out of there last Sunday on a few hours' notice because I found out they were doing this event, hit them up, said, could I possibly do some interviews there? And they said, yeah, come on out. Interviewed Swerve, Thunder Rosa, Tony Khan, a whole lot of people there. I saw, the clip from the person who had kind of been bugging me, harassing me, saying I was disrespecting Tony Khan by looking off camera. Well, Big Justice was off camera, like, tinkering with my tripod and stuff, and his mom came and got him. I was just like, is this a real thing that I'm living right now? Watching the Costco guys on my camera and interviewing Tony Khan. It was a fun time. Tony Khan said great like 42 times during our interview, but he says that he promises in the months to come, things will crystallize more about what's happening in AEW in the future for 2025. Says they're going to go all in on Texas. And wouldn't necessarily determine where All In would be in the future, but he talked about the TV rights deal, negotiating those TV rights, and sort of how that all came together, how the Globe Life Park deal came together as well. Talked about Forbidden Door in London, Collision at GalaxyCon, a lot of stuff like that. He also said that David Zaslav, who is the CEO of Warner Brothers, says he believes in AEW. So definitely some interesting stuff there. But the All-In ticketing event itself, they opted to not comment on the Rey Fénix situation. I did ask, and they said they wouldn't speak on that. I'll be speaking on it after this, but Thunder Rosa was filming for her vlog at the event, made a little cameo on there. It was wonderful to see her. The StarCast announcement came together very late, with travel being finalized that weekend. There were a few hundred people in attendance. Weather was a little chilly, definitely a school day, school morning. But they also, I think, wanted to capitalize on local media being there for Monday Night Football. Sting, Bobby Lashley, Thunder Rosa, they all live in Texas, so that made the trip in very easy for them. I spoke to Big Boom AJ, Big Justice, Bobby Lashley as well. And that's a point I wanted to bring up. I approached Bobby Lashley, and it was something very important to me, because you had every bad faith grifter on the internet claiming that he bodied Kate and was, you know, so mad at Kate for her question at the AEW Full Gear Scrum. And I approached him, and that man was baffled. He had no clue what I was talking about. I had to fill him in and let him know how some of that went. And he was like, I wasn't mad about that. There was nothing wrong with the question. He's like, I just answered it how I've wanted to answer it, because I get asked it a lot and that's how I feel. And he said that he felt bad that there was any hate gone towards Kate's way and that people thought that he was mad at her or anything like that. And I just want to say this. I didn't think Bobby Lashley was mad at her. When I got sent that clip and I heard what Kate asked and how he responded, like, I know Bobby a little bit. I've interviewed him like 5 or 6 times now. That is not how he sounds when he's mad. And also, he doesn't really get mad. He's a very laid-back guy. And he said, please put me in touch with Kate. I would love to do an interview with her, which I don't know if that'll happen. But Bobby Lashley, as I said that night, is a gentleman. And yeah, I'm not surprised that's how he responded, to be honest with you, because those people online do not reflect how he feels. Now, I'm not minimizing how anybody else feels, but there were a lot of people talking about how Bobby Lashley felt without actually knowing. So let's talk about the Phoenix thing, because I have reported on that extensively. There was a report that emerged last week that claimed that AEW was not actually worried about the fake news about Penta and Phoenix talking with WWE, and Phoenix said, this is the most accurate thing. No, it was not the most accurate thing. I can tell you firsthand, AEW was absolutely very upset about that. Very, very upset about that. He had posted a number of tweets aimed at, seemingly aimed at AEW, of which he has now deleted, claiming he was treated inhumanely and denied a doctor when needed one. I asked for a statement or comment from AEW, both in person and via message. We were told that they would not be giving one and that they really couldn't comment on medical issues regardless. Everybody I talked to said that they hadn't heard anything that could be misconstrued as inhumane or be construed as humane or inhumane. But they hadn't spoke to Phoenix about it. They had heard that Phoenix took issue with a doctor who hadn't cleared him at one point. But another AEW source who claimed to be familiar with the matter said that the claims were untrue and said that they said that the word of AEW not being upset by the fake WWE news was just someone trying to babyface themselves in the situation after getting them into that situation. In that now, Fightful had heard that Penta had told people that he was talking with WWE, that he and Phoenix would like to go there as a package deal, that they would like to go to the main roster, not NXT. Now, the week before all this unfolded, I had spoken to someone who got information within the company that they were actually considering releasing Phoenix from his deal early. I don't know if that's going to happen now. I think that that might be just something that doesn't go down at this point. Yeah. WWE Saturday Night's main event. I did a full review, did a watch along. As the show went off the air, Cody Rhodes got attacked by Kevin Owens, got hit with a package pile driver. Kevin Owens bumped chests with Triple H. I have not heard that there is anything more to that. It's just a level of physicality in which they're comfortable with Triple H doing. But I did hear some more details on why that happened and why it happened off air. So SmackDown filmed two episodes on Friday, which means the show that happens after Saturday Night's main event was filmed before. And this allows them to have something new-ish to show on their television Friday, since they couldn't have Cody Rhodes and Kevin Owens go out there and talk about the match that they hadn't had yet. Kevin Owens is also planned for a backstage segment as well, so they will highlight that, and it'll sort of bridge the gap, because WWE talent are off for the holidays. In, I think after Monday, they are off for the next 7, 8, 9 days up until the December 26th show. So that's how they decided to bridge that gap and give you Kevin Owens and Cody Rhodes on TV in some capacity next week. Some NXT news. Corey Brennan had reported that NXT will be hosting their final taping of 2024 on Thursday, December 19th. It'll be taking place from the Performance Center in Orlando, or at least that's the belief. The brand will tape content not only for the Christmas edition of NXT, but also for the New Year's edition, allowing talent to spend holidays with their family. And this kind of goes with the double taping that we had mentioned prior. Also, Oro Mensah has not been released by WWE or Keanu Carver, based on what we've heard. There were a lot of rumors about that, but we haven't heard anything resembling that. There was a spot during Trick Williams and Ridge Holland at NXT Deadline that was said to draw memories of Big E's neck injury that was toned down between rehearsals and a match occurring on the show. We were told that it wasn't necessarily clear if it was a situation where they're like, oh, we need to change that, or if it just happened to play out that way. Saturday night's main event. Liv Morgan did not suffer a broken nose at Saturday night's main event. The belief immediately following the match was that a piercing was the cause of the blood that came from Liv Morgan following Io Sky's knee. Also, Gunther got some praise backstage for saving the ending spot of the Triple Threat world title match at that show. Some more details around that. Ben Sassocio has been writing New Day's promos. Alexandra Williams writing Seth Rollins promos. A lot of good work that being done by Sosocio there on the New Day stories that we're seeing. Let's get into the Q&A portion of the show. Before we do, a reminder, Fightful Awards voting is up now. I am so excited about this. Just a wonderful time getting to see some of the ways that these awards are falling. Just very, very excited. First one is someone saying, do you think WWE will likely cut their partnership with TNA now that TNA signed Tessa Blanchard to the company? I don't think it's ongoing right now. Like, they haven't sent anybody over there in a little while. And I was always told it's not a partnership, it's a talent exchange. Charles Lee Ray says, can you tell us more in detail about for your charge for your new Twitter fee? So yeah, I just did the little subscriptions thing. I had applied for it so long ago. And basically, like, if there are some little details over there that happen to emerge right after a Fightful Select story, or maybe some context that just doesn't fit in a Twitter story or a Select story, it'll go over there. Maybe some insight, some archived information, some stories behind things that happen that, like, for example, I might have insight on something that happened a couple years ago, and a tweet pops up, and I can provide that insight. It wouldn't make sense for me to randomly be like, hey, here's a news story from 2022. You know what I mean? But also, I'm going to post some documents and things like that over there. Nothing will be taken from Fightful Select. I don't want anybody to think that subscribing to my Twitter is a replacement for Fightful Select, because it isn't. Fightful Select is my number one priority and always will be. AEW recently offered a promotion where you get full gear and World's End at a discounted price when buying both. How was the reception to this, and are there plans to continue doing such promotions? I don't know necessarily how those plans go long-term, but I wouldn't be surprised to see them continue short-term. Do you have any additional details about why Sunday night's Saturday night's main event opened doors so late? Yeah, they were still rehearsing very late. It was unusual there. What's going on with Effie, GCW, AEW? Was it a work all the way? Was it a worky shoot or a shooty work? It absolutely started off as a shoot, and then I got a message this week saying, hey, you're not going to run that interview that we filmed that was very tongue-in-cheek but made jokes about this, are you? And I said, no, I won't run it. And then I see why. Because Jericho showed up at GCW. I have not been told that Ricky Starks is back on the shows. In fact, I've been told he's not back on the shows as of now. I don't know if that element is a work, but let me tell you this. If it was a work all along, then Brett Lauderdale, Effie, Tony Khan, Ricky Starks, all of them are the best actors in the world. And all due respect to them, they're not. Feels like adding injury time to a contract when the person got hurt on the job would be something the NLRB or OSHA wouldn't be a fan of. At some point, can you have a labor lawyer on to discuss? Sure, I can. But I mean, also that is worked into the deals. Like, it's in the contract that you sign as well. Sean, another Cody question. A while back, Dave reported Cody set the record gates as a headline in over 32 cities. Is there any way to confirm this? I did ask internally, and I was told that was accurate. I wasn't given a lot of additional details on that. A lot of people asking about the contract status of Kevin Owens. I haven't heard, but I would be shocked if he's not signed. I think he's probably under a deal long term, but that is a hunch, not a report. Any word on which networks are interested in ROH? As Dave reported, there are multiple. No, but I have heard that there are multiple. Any idea why WWE played it so safe with Saturday night's main event? Loved the retro feel, but felt the whole thing could have been a house show. Somebody else mentioned that. Chris, I disagree with that. You had the finals of the United States title tournament there. That doesn't feel like a house show to me. Just that one being on there, to me, makes it worth watching. And then you had, I mean, listen, if the post-show stuff had happened on the air, that adds to it as well. But I mean, you had like Jesse Ventura and you had a lot of cool things there. I don't think that it was as necessarily house show territory. Sean, what's your favorite wrestling music from the 2000s? I like the Run DMC version of Kings. That's a good one. Motorhead Evolution was incredible. Line in the Sand is a classic. A lot of the Dale Oliver stuff was a lot of fun as well. Any word on what's going on with Stokely Hathaway? I have not heard. I know at one point he was discussed as to possibly manage like Action Andretti or somebody like that, but I have not heard anything recent on him. Who could you see being the face of the company the next 5 to 7 years? Do you think they're currently on the main roster or in NXT? I think Delta could be on the women's side. Braun Breaker probably on the men's side. Christina says, when and how will the feud between Owens and Rhodes end? I think Royal Rumble. That's what makes sense to me. Christina, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that Kevin Owens does win the title at Raw on Netflix's debut or maybe the next Saturday night's main event and then drops it back at the Rumble. I think that would be kind of cool. But yeah, that's where I think. When do you think there will be another Maple Leaf wrestling pay-per-view? I asked Scott about this, and he just told me that they were setting up the schedule for next year. Do you think Jamie Hayter would profit from turning heel? Seems like since her return, she isn't as over. Well, I mean, listen, there were already creative plans in order. I think that some of her plans probably had hiccups, or some of their plans for her had hiccups. But I think it'll work out. But I mean, she was on her ascent at that point. And you only usually have one of those if you're lucky. And if you're real lucky, maybe you get more. And sometimes it can be hard to sort of get that magic back. With Mania approaching quickly, have there been any talks of New Japan, ROH, Stardom, and Tokyo Joshi Pro running any events in Vegas that week? Not that I've heard of yet. I actually wouldn't be surprised if Tony didn't run ROH that week because he didn't want to continue running that week. It was actually Righteous Reg in a presser who said, you know, that was always an important part of WrestleMania week to me. It was Supercard of Honor. And then Tony thought about that and he goes, okay, you know what? You're right. So it wouldn't surprise me to finally see them move away. Is Shockwave currently being shopped around as a 2-hour show or 1-hour show? I have not necessarily heard the length. I think that is like part of a discussion is how long that would be. And someone's asking about Shockwave news that it's almost 2025. That it's a hypothetical at this point. It's not a confirmed thing. Penta's status in WWE. He is not signed as of right now. And I would understand why they might look at this situation and be like, let's hold off on that for a little bit. And also, maybe put some time between him leaving AEW and joining WWE. You know what I mean? Just, it's kind of like, no, you walk in there before I do, so they don't know we're here at the same time. What's Ibushi's status health-wise, if that's available? I mean, from what I understand, he's cleared? I just haven't heard anything of late since that last appearance. Saw a report, I'm assuming is false, that Kevin Owens was scheduled to win Saturday night in a fight backstage with Triple H changed that. That is absolutely false. That sounds like some Facebook bullshit. By the way, guys, listen, stop getting your news, your wrestling news from Facebook. Please stop getting your wrestling news from Facebook. He says, with Cody taking that pile driver, is he planning on taking time off? I mentioned a little bit of it earlier, Cody, but they filmed that angle because they couldn't give away what happened while filming SmackDown on Friday. He's going to be at the December 26th Jacksonville show. Are presentation changes and production changes expected for AEW in January with the Max simulcast? From what I understood, some presentation changes. Do you know if and when Mina's contract to Stardom ends? She did not indicate that to me. She said that she is under contract. She seemed to indicate that she would be open to doing more with AEW and in America. If you think that Punk versus Rollins happens on the first Raw on Netflix, do you see that also happening at Mania, or do you think Punk is doing something different? I think he's doing something different. Do you see an Aldis Pierce match happening? Boys over at WrestleTalk keep predicting that, or a Survivor Series proxy match. I think that they should captain Survivor Series teams. I think that would be great. Any update with Dustin and Maria and AEW? I believe they're still with the company, both. I mean, I know Dustin is. He's still actively on TV. Any update on Timothy Thatcher's potential involvement in the WWE ID program? I believe he is around as like a coaching resource of some sort. That's what was like told to me. Sean, I have a question regarding the timeline on the Nemeth stuff. As far back as I remember, the tweet was in response to Punk's comeback promo at the first Collision on June 17th. So that would put his indication that he may be targeted 2 months before that tweet. That is what he outlined in that timeline. He said, he claimed that 2 months before that promo and his response that, or his reaction or tweet about it, that he felt he could be targeted, and it indicated that to AEW. Do you think AEW is a better fit for a GCW partnership than WWE? Yes, by all means, especially considering the heat that they've had together. I mean, listen, GCW might end up costing themselves the ability. I don't think they will, actually, because they really just use Bloodsport people. That's it. I was told that the rumors of Chelsea working Hammerstein never got past like a fleeting thought and was barely mentioned. But I think that Jericho popping up on GCW is very valuable for GCW. That's the type of thing they like to do. You know, they like to have like me show up or JBL show up, people who don't generally belong in that. That's Matt Cardona's whole thing, right? Jinder Mahal show up, people that you wouldn't believe belonged in that environment. So yeah, I think that AEW is a beneficial one. They've got some people there, and WWE gives them blood sport talent because Nick Khan and Josh Barnett are friends. Who do you think will be the next big female and male free agent to join AEW and WWE? I don't know that there are very many big free agents out there, but I would say Becky Lynch would join WWE. Will the WWE transfer window include NXT? Yes, I believe so. Any word on talent expecting a call-up before the Rumble? I would expect to see some pop up in the Rumble and then maybe hang around after that. That would make sense to me. A hunch, not a report there. But I haven't heard of anybody that is like imminently supposed to pop up. Is Logan Paul really retired, or is it a storyline? I think it's just him creating buzz for himself. Like, he's very good at that. Any announcement on fan ticks for the event at HQ on Wednesday? I will actually be nearby and could go. I've not heard a thing about the event Wednesday. I've got people saying, oh, you going to cover it? I've not seen a media invite, not heard of any plans like that or tickets. I had heard they've got some extras going in there, like extra talent and stuff, but I don't really know what's going on at the HQ on Wednesday as of now. Sean, I can't remember if this was asked earlier this year, but was the plan for Liv to dethrone Rhea at King and Queen of the Ring, or was it supposed to happen at SummerSlam? I think it was supposed to happen fairly early into the feud. No. You know, I'm going to check on that. Sean, I saw that there's going to be a new show to accompany Dark Side of the Ring. It will be called Dark Side of the Cage. Not a big MMA guy. What stories do you think would be great to be covered on that? Thanks. So for those of you who don't know, I covered MMA as a full-time living for quite a while to supplement pro wrestling as well. And man, there were few things that I loved more than a really, really great big fight and in MMA. But now I just, you know, I love the big fights, but I still love the history of MMA. And they do have Dark Side of the Cage coming soon. And here's the episodes they have. Evan Tanner, who passed away in an unfortunate hiking incident. Diego Sanchez, who is wild. The Ultimate Fighter, which had a bunch of stories. Kimbo Slice, unfortunately, no longer with us. Matt Hughes, who got hit by a train. Nick Diaz, that should be interesting. War Machine, who was a piece of shit, tried to murder his ex. Ronda Rousey, that'll be interesting. And the rise and fall of Pride. So, Fightful has a pilot for a series called Crime in Combat. I would encourage you guys to check it out. We released one episode. It was on Joe Sun. Joe Sun is, I'll tell you how you guys know him. Two possible ways. He is the guy in the early days in the UFC who got hit repeatedly in the dick. And also, he was in Austin Powers as the guy who threw the shoe. Years before that, he had committed a gang rape and is now in prison for that. I think that would be one. The second episode of Crime in Combat was Alexis Villa, who, man, is in prison now for conspiracy to commit murder. Then there's Corey Hill, who was a very unique-looking MMA fighter. I think he was like 6 foot four, but he fought at like 155 pounds or something like that. He had a horrible, horrible leg injury that ended his UFC career. He was back in the cage 13 months later, but it ended his UFC career, and he unfortunately died at age 36. Ryan Jimmo was a UFC fighter, had a very quick knockout, and unfortunately was struck by a car and passed away. Some of these would be very like shorter episodes, like I think 30-minute episodes and things like that. But Dan Quinn, he was one of the first like YouTube guys I watched, and man, he's like just devolved, and he was already kind of wild there. But Vitor Belfort's sister disappearing in 2004, was never seen again, and people have confessed that they were a part of her kidnapping and murder. Kat Zingano and a lot of the things that she went through, her husband taking his own life, it just, man, tragic. And I got in Strange Brew Jason Thacker. Let me tell you guys, in 2015, Chuck Mendenhall did an unbelievable story about Jason Thacker from the first season of The Ultimate Fighter. It's still out there. I can't believe that story was 10 years ago. But I think it's one of the greatest sports writing acts ever, ever. Just incredible. And, the reality is our good friend Elias Theodorou, who was taken from us far too soon, man. His untimely passing is probably worth the story, but honestly, I don't know. That would be the only sad thing about that story, because Elias was such a wonderful guy, and goddamn, I miss him so much. I really do. He was such a wonderful guy and was so helpful, and that'd be one of those where the whole thing is positive except for at the end, because none of us knew. Like, he kept it so quiet. It was so private, and we did not know until Elias was gone what Elias was going through. And I would like for them to do one on Elias Theodorou, because I think it would help a lot of people, and honestly, I think it would be very nice for his legacy, and I want as many people to hear what kind of a guy that Elias Theodorou was. So I hope they do one. I would love to, not only for them to do one, I would love to participate in that, but that's got me in my feels, guys. I'm going to wrap it up on that one. I want to say thank you all to all of you guys. I will be taking, I'll be taking a little break. It's next week now. I'm still doing the show next week, but on the 24th through the 28th until the AEW pay-per-view, I will be out of the office. But fear not, my friends, because you're not going to miss out on Fightful Select Scoops. I've already got some that are going to be planned. I will be at the December 26th house show, MSG. But I just want to say thank you all so much. I appreciate you guys so much. Until next time, we're out.